both are able to pick up on very nicely in terms of what a hint of what life may be like now. And I think the good example of where this was bright but this was bright and bold. This one has an entirely different feel just because it's the medium of oil. The creation has been, by James Weldon Johnson, has been a favorite one to retell within the last couple of years. Again, this is an oil. And the thing that's fascinating in this presentation is that as the children are listening to the teller tell the story, we get a framed portrait of that setting. We get symbolic edges on the text. And then as we get into the action, we have double page spreads with no text. And then we move back to the listeners, and in this case, more than any of the other books, the facial expressions are very well done. I shouldn't say well done, they are much more detailed than we had in some of our other books. And so you have this very predictable setting here, and then you change the page, and you don't know what's going to be coming next. This is a very moving version to read. Those who sit, I can tell people, those who sat in front will get the most out of it. This is a very moving retelling.
And yeah, I've covered those. And then we go into watercolor, which is one of the most prominent ones used. And
here we have a cartoon type drawing. This is one I'm sure a lot of children are gonna identify with. Have somebody like this as a member of their family. This is one of these tributes to agriculture and conservation at the same time. Kind of goes. There's going to be a lot of books about, as I say, farming this year. And some of them have almost romanticized what farming is. And I can think of some of this. I grew up in a rural community. And I have a feeling that those friends would not have thought life was really like what you're being portrayed in some of these books. This is another e-bunny. Sunshine Home. Again, an example of partaking a topic that's not always easier for people to handle as an author. She has taken a topic of kind of an older relative has been put into some kind of environment outside of the home. You know, the dedication page. What kind of green are we looking at? We are looking at an institutional green. The family prepares to go to visit the grandmother. The little boy, everybody's been trying to be cheery and about this experience that grandmother's working while taking care of her. She just can't walk right now. And as the story goes on, and I consider this an illustrated book because there's far more text than the illustrations can present. And I, in my mind, see the two very integrated and very balanced. So the digs are down to the places where they do all the social things. When they get outside, of course, mother breaks down after having left grandma that way. And they have forgotten to take the picture that the, gives grandma the picture that the little boy had done. So he goes back into the home, and of course, what does he find there? But grandma is crying. And then what he does is bring them back together to realize, let's bring this out in the open and talk about the fact this is really not a happy situation, but it's something we have to do. Handled very effectively on a good discussion starter for children who are facing this kind of experience. I had to slip in one of my favorite data illustrators for very young children. I'm so glad you did it, Farnley, because I said, here's another one. again, the primary colors, in this case, it's the action starts out with a farmer who kisses his wife, who pets the dog, that scratches a flea that lands on the cat. You can see the flea there. And it's another good example of a participation book where then children try to see where is that action going to take to us next. What happens to the mouse that's in every one of the pictures? This is one about the desert. Again, the watercolors on the end pages. And again, this is, I consider, an illustrated book. It's talking about a person who lives on the edge of a desert. Trying to make friends with his neighbors, not understanding initially why they won't come around when he's out, and so he builds a water pole that is more like their own environment, but which they appreciate. It's more isolated. The animals are natural, and then at the end of it is an illustrated glossary of both the plants and the animals. Again, I thought that might be something of interest to people, Siri. Only Donald, I hadn't brought any picture books with me. I hadn't brought any music other than joyful noise. I had to write music. And so we have Old MacDonald, and then we have the music at the end, which is typical of these kind of books. The photo documentary, which we're getting increasing amount of in bilingual books in the pinata, where you have a balance of the illustrations and of the presentation of the information in the two languages. Now, kind of farming that I bet you don't do here is balloon farming. So, a little different approach to the whole concept of agriculture. And then we have a new book that this came, I think, a week or two ago, and I thought, how did they know what I was going to be talking about today? I happen to be from the Midwest. I'm very fond of the Art Institute of Chicago, and what we have in this work, this is a tribute to America through artworks that are housed in the Art Institute of Chicago and poetry. And again, another kind of approach that I hadn't even thought about in terms of using children's literature to get them into the artwork. I hope some of you will come up and look at these things and talk to me and give me your reactions to the different titles. I'm looking forward to exchanging ideas with you, hearing how you would use them with your children. And as I say, I'm delighted to be a part of these activities. And thank you very much.
Do you take questions?
Oh, yes, I'd be glad to.
When judge the property of the Newberry's or the Caldecott's? Do you have them blind?
Yep.
Do you have them blind, meaning you do not know the author or the...
No. Yeah, we're dealing with this. What I didn't explain is that it's a group decision, and it's a very elaborate balloting procedure that begins to say which books are standing above the others. No, we know who the authors and the illustrators are. And we also need to check out for whether they're eligible or not.
Do you look for ones that are different than everybody else, or is it more of a classic artist?
No, if you're looking for distinguished, it seems to... No, I'm giving my opinion. Then I'm looking for something... for instance, there are a couple books on this table that I think are very predictable for those artists. And then I have to stop and say to myself, but is that fair? Because I'm not supposed to be considering previous work. And so is this particular work uniquely distinctive out of this year's publications? And you really struggle with that. I'm struggling with that with a couple of these right now, and I debated about bringing them today because of the struggle I'm having. Because I think they are so predictable.
Question in terms of, there's so many titles being published. Mm-hmm. Do the publishers tend to send you the ones that they think have a chance? Do you just kind of go out and see what you see? I know I had a friend who was on the mm-hmm. Caldecott Committee some years ago, and she was receiving boxes full of books. So do you know how that decision's made in terms of what things they send to you?
Yes, right. Well, let me put it this way. I can only tell you what my friends in publishing tell me.
Okay.
Some houses choose to send you what they think should be considered. Some houses think you're on the committee, you should make the decision, they will send you. Other houses say, we are not going to send you any time, you made the commitment that you would find the materials. Little houses or small houses, small presses are just beginning to send in. So what you do when you're on the committee is once you see the pattern, you say, okay, these houses, I need to make a special effort to go and look for their materials other places.
Uh-huh.
So it depends upon the consciousness of the person.
Sure.
Because I'm not working in a library per se right now, I also look at a lot of the reviews to see if there's anything that I might need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And go scrounge it out.
So basically, the committee as a whole is trying to look at as many books as possible and then bring to the attention of the committee ones that they think.
Right. And we do have, anyone in the committee. The other thing I should say, in terms of numbers, the only time I kept a count was when I chaired notable children's books, which includes nonfiction and fiction. And because we had been criticized of not reading nonfiction, I, as chair, made a very deliberate to be sure I was. And I lost track when I had 1,500 titles.
Right,
right.
I know, it's a huge number. How many picture books is it? It's 5,000 new titles a year, several thousand titles, right.
Yeah. But that's why you have such a large committee, because a lot of these folks are out in large systems where they are examining the materials all the time. And we really count on people to bring things to our attention.
Is there a Caldecott committee and a Newberry committee in every state, or
No. How
does it?
Okay, this is a committee of the Association of the Library Service for Children, which is a division of the American Library Association.
So this is one committee.
This is a national level committee.
How many people are on the committee?
15 altogether, including the chair. And they're from across the country. Now, there are other awards that are state or regional awards that are operated. Each award's operated much differently. These are considered to be the two prestigious awards.
How much money do you think it adds to get a Caldecott or a Newberry Award?
I used to have some figures on that. I don't. I know that for some of the artists, it has made a difference between doing this as a part-time thing and doing it as a full-time thing. And I don't have it. My figures I have in that are not recent.
Your advances go way up if you win one of these medals.
It's seen as mainly an award to the artist.
The Caldecott is an award to the artist. And they have to be very careful sometimes that they remember that there's an author there, and that gets a little bit. And also the reversal, what Nancy was saying earlier this morning, this is why some of the more successful illustrators have wanted to do their own writing and never moved to that switch. Any other kind of questions?
When's the cutoff period?
Okay. It's anything that's published in 1994 will be discussed, is eligible to be discussed at the Midwinter Conference in January 1995. And if Midwinter is close to December, if we have a 7-day cutoff in which we will not accept any more nominations because we do have to read everything before we get to that meeting.
I have just a quick question.
Uh-huh.
When you get down to the finals, are there fisticuffs or anything about the champion? Or?
Sometimes, the balloting is a very complex balloting system, and sometimes the ballots can go on a long time. At least 3-hour blocks during Midwinter, and I can think of situations I've been in where we had additional blocks in the middle of the night. So it depends. If people come in with favorites and won't budge on them, it can really throw the process. Hopefully.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. Hello, Phyllis. I enjoyed that. I know the staff did. This is the end of our forum for 1994. We are in the process of getting ready for the 1995 forum. I appreciate all you people coming to this. I look forward to seeing many of you here next year. We're adjourned.